Welcome to this sermon from Christ Church. Have your Bible ready, and let's begin.
Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning, and we thank you for the beautiful name that we just sang to. Father, we thank you for loving us, for your great care of us. And as we now continue to worship by looking at your word, I pray, oh Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us in a powerful and profound way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we get in to the sermon, we're only 1 month away from celebrate Christmas and the Christmas concerts, which, yeah. I can't believe it's only 1 month to go, but this year's show is a little bit different than the other ones. You know, they're all here, and they're about halfway gone already, so usually at this month before, I'm saying, all right, come on, everybody. Now I got to tell you, the tickets are going really fast. So if you're thinking you have that pad that we usually have, you don't. So you might want to go on the internet this week. And bring a friend. The show is going to be very fun this year. And we also, there's a booth out if you have any questions or anything. And we also have some volunteer opportunities for people. We're going to be baking cookies for the after experience. We could use some more stagehands, concert ushers, things like that. All that information is available on Main Street. All right, today we're going to be looking at James, and this is almost like a companion sermon to the one I preached a few weeks ago, where Christ was the bringer to the Father, where all the dividing lines between us have been knocked down, and we're one new person, you know, but life still happens, and sometimes it gets messy. So we're going to look at James. Now, you might wonder who James is. There are a lot of James and a lot of Marys in the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's almost like being named Smith or something in our culture. Like, I mean, there's James and Marys all over the place. And you may have grown up in a tradition that taught you that Mary was a perpetual virgin, so you might be a little surprised to find out Jesus had brothers and sisters, and James is one of his brothers. And a very interesting artifact was discovered some years ago. In the first century, you were buried in the tomb, and then like a year later, they would come in and collect your bones, put them in a little box, and then inscribe on the side who's in it, and then they put you on the shelf, so like your family would be in there. So there's a picture, I think, of this bone box that somebody had, and then they noticed there was an inscription on it. And so they called some scientists and some people, and somebody deciphered that on the side of the box, it says, James, the brother of Jesus. And they authenticated it back to the time that it all looks correct. And I thought, how cool is that, you know, like to find that. Mark records an incident in Jesus' ministry where his fellow townsmen, the people that, you know, in his town he grew up, said, isn't this guy Jesus a mere local? And they said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. There was another time when James and the rest of his family were opposed to Jesus' ministry. They actually thought he was crazy in Mark. I'm sure my brothers and my sister kind of can understand the pressure of growing up with a guy like Jesus in the house. But some of you might have a hard time, you know. You could talk to them about what it's like. But even his own siblings thought, this guy is crazy, right? John tells us that not even his brothers believed in him in John chapter 7. But somewhere along the way, by the time we get to Acts, James has become the leader of the Jerusalem church. He's leading the church after Christ ascends into heaven. And he wrote a small book in the New Testament. It's only 5 chapters. You could read it this afternoon. And it has a lot of power-packed statements in it. One I have written in just about every journal that I have. I've been repeating it over and over, and I still am not even close to it. But in James 1:19, he wrote, "Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And I'm pretty much the opposite of all those things. So James has been a helper to me. Now, we're going to be in James chapter 4. So just James' audience is experiencing arguments and conflicts. There's some quarrels, there's fighting going on. This is kind of a troublemaking group that's going to be reading this. They had frequent wars with the Romans. They were very divided among themselves. And there was often major fights going on between them. And apparently, this mindset has spilled in to the Jerusalem church. And James, being the leader of the church, brings it up. So we're going to pick up in chapter 4, and we're just going to look at three verses this morning, 1 through 3. And so James says, hey, where do relationship problems originate? And listen to what he says. I'm just going to read all three verses now, and we'll go through them. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. All right, so James says, all right, we got some problems. There are some quarrels and there are some fights going on. And then his answer, he says, okay, here's the problem. It comes from the human heart that's frustrated by not getting what it wants, right? When we want something, we get frustrated when we don't get it. Although oftentimes it's probably what we want we ought not to have. But we can get so focused on it that it brings this division. Well, we're going to unpack that in a few minutes. The thing that jumps out at me, and I want you to notice two things, is this would not be even in my top 25 things to remedy relationship conflicts. Notice the first thing James says, prayer is lacking. Right? Look what he said. What causes quarrels? What's going on in your heart? You do not have because you do not ask. There's no prayer going on. Can we take off our religious glasses this morning and just let me ask you a hard question? What does your prayer life look like? What does your prayer life look like this morning? And if you find it hard to pray, if you're new to this whole thing, I can give you a few easy ways to get started. This is something I practice. When you wake up in the morning, as soon as you open your eyes, you say, "Thanks, Lord, for another day. I don't deserve it. Thank you for being gracious to me. I would like to walk with you today, but I know it won't take much time before I'll be going my own direction. So please help me walk with you." Then I'm sure all of us eat through each day. What a perfect opportunity to say, "Lord, thank you for caring for me. Look at this, plenty of options we have to eat." And at night, before you close your eyes, you say, "Thank you, Lord, for another day." If you'll start with those little things, then you'll start filling in the blanks as you go through the day, and prayer will start becoming something you do all the time. So it doesn't have to be mysterious and hard, and you have to be this person who can pray so beautifully and wonderfully. It can just be waking up saying, "Thank you, Lord," reminding yourself that He's good, that He cares for you through the day, and then saying, "I'm grateful for another day with you today," before you go to sleep. See, James says there's some kind of correlation to quarreling and prayerlessness. Like I said, that wouldn't have been in my top 10. Notice the second thing he said. Even when you do ask God for things, you do not receive them. Why not? Because of asking from wrong motivations for wrong things, basically to spend them on yourself. If we put this in our own English, we could say something like, you do not have because you are operating with a consumer mindset. All right, that's going to be our big word this morning. The consumer mindset versus the contributing mindset. And this is how this is part B of the last one. Jesus brought us to the Father. He tore down the division walls. We are at peace with each other. And now when things come up, when fights come up, we're able to address them in a different way. And here's the truth. Any long-term involvement is going to meet with disappointment. If you're involved with something for a long time, There's going to be seasons of disappointment. There's going to be seasons of frustration. There's going to be seasons when you think, I'm not, what about me, right? But if you don't learn how to check that, if you don't learn how to deal with that properly, that leads to bitterness. And bitterness leads to checking out. Disconnection. The complete opposite of being connected, which is what we want to be. So I'm saying friendships, marriage, parenting, sports, and even the church. If you're involved for a long time, there will be seasons of frustration and disappointment. Why? Because we start to think, man, my ideas aren't valued. Nobody cares what I think. Nobody, you know, I'm not important. My needs aren't considered. I don't feel included. One of the things I can't stand, and if you've ever said this, I apologize, but when people, I've had friends say to me, I just can't get fed, which it's so religious to even say that, like, feed me. If that's not a consumer mindset, I don't know what is. I moved 1,000 miles from Florida to Cleveland to study with Dr. Collins, and 23 years later, I'm still learning. So if you can't get fed, the problem is probably you, right? I go to church. In my adult life, you could count on one hand how many Sundays I've missed. I go to church every Sunday, basically. And not every Sunday have I been in a church that I like, but every Sunday I've been fed. Because I go there and I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to gather with my brothers and sisters, and this isn't my style, this isn't my cup of tea, but my heart is open. Speak to me, right? So, here's the problem. I touched on this in the last sermon, but we're going to really touch on it today. We live in the next best thing culture. We're always looking for the next best thing. If I don't like what's going on, then I check out. 4th and 10, I punt, and I'm on to the next. I'm looking for the next best thing. This is the consumer mindset. And James says it produces quarrels and fighting and winds up in these horrible situations. Now, what I'm not saying this morning is that frustration and disappointment are not real problems. They are very real problems. We all experience them. And that's why it's so important to learn how to deal with them, because they are very real problems. The goal is to move from being a consumer Christian, a consumer follower of Christ, to a contributing follower of Christ. Now, James is teaching us, the very first thing he said is, at our core, we are a natural consumer. It goes against this spiritual direction that's a contributor. So at my natural core, I am a consumer. Now, so his answer is, these problems are coming from the human heart. Now, many of us are going to say, by nature, I think we're good. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't believe that's true. I just don't. Think about this. How many parents do we have in here? And how many of you had parents? All right. Think about this. Have you ever said, today I'm going to have to teach my child how to be selfish? Did you ever have that conversation with any of your children? Have you ever said, okay, Jake, you're 3 now, let's sit down, I got to teach you something. You are just not being selfish enough with the kids you're playing with. I'm going to give you this toy, and when I try to take it, you scream mine as loud as you can. Right? By nature, we are selfish consumers in our natural way. Hopefully, that gets parented out of you. But then we grow up and we become adults, and we start comparing ourselves to other people. And there's other kinds of issues that start creeping into our soul and in our heart. And we have to look out for that. You see, I love fast food. I love it. I haven't really had any since August. And I'm telling you, I have to drive home a different way so I don't go past any of them. I know most people hate it. I love it. I could eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner there for a long time before I would get sick of it. Who remembers this? 2 all-beef patties. Special sauce. lettuce, cheese, pickle, onions. On what?
Sesame
seed bun. What was that? A Big Mac. You remember it. If you walked into a McDonald's and ordered a Big Mac, that's what you were getting. And I was telling my son, the old Brunswick McDonald's, you'd walk in and order your hamburger. There was a grill right behind him, and they cooked it right there on the grill. You know, it was awesome. But you knew exactly what you were getting. They had the commercial, the whole nine yards. And that was great for a long time. But then something happened. See if you remember this. Hold the pickle. Hold the lettuce. Special orders, they don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your way. Oh, do we love that. Burger King changed everything. Have it your way. Now I'm in charge. I can get a Whopper the way it's supposed to be with nothing on it but mustard and mayonnaise and ketchup. None of that other stuff. I was as happy as you could be. This is powerful. It gave you the control. All of a sudden, you were in charge. And now, some four decades later or whatever it is, the customer is king. Right? Have it your way. We've all become a consumer-minded society. It's all about me and what I want. Even Lazy Boy recliners. You deserve it. Tragically, that consumer mindset has now crept in to the church. Just as James was saying, he saw this creeping into the Jerusalem church. So how do we stay on the road of God's better idea in handling all this stuff? I want to give you three things. First, a consumer mindset comes to be served. A contributing mindset comes to serve. All right, you see the difference? One mindset comes and says, serve me. The other one comes and says, how can I help? I'm going to suggest that serving is at the core of the transformed heart, soul, and mind. If you are following Christ in a meaningful way, your serving should be improving and growing constantly. Notice this. You cannot become a contributor until you value the right things. Right? That's what James goes on to say. And now you see where prayer is such a high priority. It's the prerequisite for serving. And we have a baseline dysfunction in the church of prayerless Christians. You can't get to this mode without praying. That's what James is saying. You have not because you ask not. This recalibration of my heart requires walking with God in a meaningful way. When I open my eyes, I know without his help, I will not walk with him through this day. So I ask him, first thing, please help me. Without it, you might serve trying to earn the approval of others. You might run away from your pain. It might be to remedy guilt. You might be trying to impress God. But all those things are going to leave you burned out and saying, I'm being taken advantage of. Because it's from the wrong place in the heart. Service motivated by these reasons results in just the disconnect that we're talking about. James implies a barrier to serving others is selfishness, right? The number one reason we don't have time and energy to serve others is that we're preoccupied with our own agendas. We're just too busy, right? I mean, we all know what I'm talking about. I've said it. You've said it. We're all too busy. I just have a little question. How many of you have Netflix? Don't be afraid. I have it too. All right, how many of you have a giant screen TV that goes along with Netflix? If you have no time for anything, why in the world would you invest in a streaming service and a giant screen TV to sit around and watch hours of TV? Because I can watch it on my schedule. Don't you love that? I don't have to watch a TV show at any when it comes on. I can watch it in the middle of the night. I can do whatever I want. But I've got plenty of time to watch what I want to watch. Jack Ryan, the spy, came out, and boy, I made time to watch that. Right? We've got time. I wonder how much time we spend on our screens. If at the end of every week you got a little report, now they're starting to do it. Your phone can monitor how much time you actually spend looking at it. Social media, games. I mean, just look through our social life. We've got time. Houston, there is a problem, and the problem is me. My issue is, I hear that phrase, and I say, Houston, we have a problem, and the problem is you. Right? And that's why prayer starts to recalibrate us. And we say, oh, the issue is me. And James also says the opposite implication of is serving in love. There's a different way that we break this serve me mindset, and it is we serve in love. One of my favorite verses is the Apostle Paul, who says, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Pretty strong statement. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters if you don't have love. Listen to this. God is far more interested in why you serve than how well you serve. Why are you serving? Right? You're going to work out how well you do it. You're going to get better and better at it. The question we have to ask ourselves is why? He's always looking at our heart. Where did James learn this? His brother, the Sermon on the Mount. My small group's been studying it for months now. Christ takes everything and it always whittles all the way back down the trail to the heart. It's all right here. Now, you are most like Jesus when you are serving others. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That's something to hold at the forefront of your mind. We all want to be like Christ. That's our goal for following him. And you are most like him when you are serving other people. Consider this. After washing his disciples' feet, he said this, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Right? I mean, that is amazing to me. So a consumer mindset comes to be served. A contributing mindset comes to serve. Second thing to be on this trail, a consumer mindset is entitled. A contributing mindset is grateful. Right? One is entitled. One is grateful. Here's another dysfunction. It's a little bit deeper. We pray, but we pray for ourselves. We pray from a sense of entitlement. James even gets a little stronger, says we spend it on ourselves. All right? How do we fight this? If it's so dangerous, and I believe it's so subtle, I believe it's in all of our hearts, how do we fight it? Here's a few things. Number one, it has to start with looking inside. You've got to be able to be honest and say, I'm going to take a look. The first step of letting go of this entitlement is recognizing its presence in my heart. It's in my mind. It is there. I was going to ask everyone, raise your hand if you're entitled. We have one honest person in the room. Nobody wants to raise their hand to that question, right? So it starts with looking into our heart and inviting the Holy Spirit to say, show me where this shadow is. Here's some things I ask myself. Where am I discontent? What is aggravating me? And that's usually a long list because I can be easily aggravated. But that leads me to say, where am I disappointed? What's a disappointment in my life right now? What do I think I need to be living a fulfilled life? Right? How do I compare my life to somebody else's? Those are just a few things that I've learned to kind of keep a monitor on my heart. Now, once we get in there and ask those questions and say, okay, there might be a little bit in here, the second thing we do is we invite God in. Right? If God is really good, and grace, you know our definition at Christ Church, God treats us better than we deserve, then really we have everything we need for a healthy life. Starts with knowing that he's good. You have not because you ask not. That's why we start by examining and inviting God into the process. See, prayer usually is yes, no, or wait. And I only like one of those answers. I like yes. I don't like the other ones. But God knows what he's doing. We can't save ourselves from these feelings of entitlement. We can't make our hearts better, but God can. That's what he does. That's his business. He changes our hearts. So if we pour out our desires, our disappointments, our frustrations, all these things, and we hope in him and we cling to him, something happens. You know what happens? It's the third thing under entitlement. We start to see the Jesus style take over in our heart. You know what? Christ is the only one who we could say could be entitled. But how did he live? The complete opposite of that. He didn't deserve to bear our sins on the cross. But he gave up his own desires. He gave up his own comforts. He gave up his own pleasures for our eternal good. He said, I've given you a model of what it looks like. Now follow it. Tim Keller said, as Christians, we should not only trust God when we don't get what we want, we should also follow the example of our Savior and choose to give up what we think we deserve. It's pretty strong, isn't it? What would fights and quarrels look like if these things were in place in the way we approached everyday life? What would happen to them? I'm not saying they wouldn't be there, but what would happen to them? They would not have a long life. They would be dealt with in a totally different way. Humility and the willingness to give up our rights are not prized virtues in our world, but they are stunningly beautiful to Christ in his style. About a month ago in our small group, someone said, I saw your son, Jake, walking down Main Street. He walks just like you. And we all started laughing. And I thought about that. That's what I'm talking about. We ought to start looking like the Father. The Jesus style ought to be taking over. And it pains my heart to look at my own heart and see how lacking I am in living and responding with the Jesus style. So how do you get out of this? Well, here's a great thing, some great homework. When was the last time you said thanks to somebody? You can start with God. When was the last time you just said, thank you, Lord? Thank you for your kindness to me. When was the last time you said thanks to someone in your family? Look for a reason. You can find them. Every day you can find something to say, hey, thank you for this. When was the last time you said thanks to a friend for something? Not after they just did something marvelous for you. Just, hey, thanks. I value your friendship. See, it starts to get our mind into another space. Because a consumer mindset comes to be served. Contributor comes to serve. A consumer mindset is entitled. The contributing mindset is grateful. And third, a consumer mindset focuses on their own preferences, and a contributing mindset is focused on the needs of others. And that's pretty much where we just got to. This whole system starts to change our preoccupation with ourselves, and it starts to be that we walk in a way that the joy of somebody else starts becoming at the forefront. And I ask you again, what would happen to our quarrels and our fighting if we had that kind of mindset? We would be able to deal with them. Here's a great statement. Are you ready for it? The church does not exist for me. I remind myself of that often. The church does not exist for me. Greg Gosal told his church, we don't go to church, we are the church. We are the church and we are here for the world. And you know what the world needs? It needs to see a bunch of people where the Jesus style is becoming an everyday kind of life, where grace, where mercy, where kindness, where thinking of somebody else above yourself is paramount. And then that becomes attractive to the world around us. His brothers, his sisters, his family thought he was crazy. What happened? What happened? And now James becomes the leader of the church. You know what? The older I get, the more I'm stunned by the goodness of God. And I believe his siblings saw this in action. And the result is, this guy is crazy. It ended up being, this guy truly is the divine one. He is our Savior. The higher idea of Jesus, this contributing lifestyle of kindness, grace, and mercy, they're very attractive. So James teaches us the church should not be defined as quarreling, the church should not be defined as prayerless, and the church should not be defined as selfish. And if we flip that over, we see followers of Christ are not spiritual consumers, we are spiritual contributors. We're active at making a difference in the church, and I want you to hear this. If you're not active in the church, then there's something not being done that needs to be done. I'm going to say it again. If you're not active, and we have ways for you to get active, and here's the beautiful thing about our church. We want you to be active where you're gifted. We believe every single one of you is special. that God has placed something that only you have. It's unique. It's needed in the body of Christ. And if you are not active, then there's something that needs to be done that's not getting done. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about we are the temple walls. We are the blocks cemented together. Finally, let me remind you of a strong word James used, and he said war inside you. This consumer mindset is like warring inside of you. And think of the imagery of war. What happens there? Injury, trauma, death. It's not a beautiful scene. If we want to pursue fighting and quarreling with the natural bent, it's only going to produce those kind of things. The death of relationships, the hurt and the pain of relationships, the trauma of going through them. But James teaches us today, if we'll open our heart to the goodness of God, if we can be recalibrated in His love, and we can learn how to bring grace to the situations, then Jesus has a better idea of how to deal with these things, and we get to serve each other. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for myself and for all my friends in this room that we could experience the goodness of the Father, that we could truly believe and know that you are good, that your intent towards us is good and kind. Pray that that would lead us to be transformed in the power of your love and that we could follow your model and serve each other. Pray that we would be grateful, that we could learn to search our heart, that we could ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us, and that the result would be we would be a church that is other-centered and that we could handle the strife and the arguing and the fighting with grace, with kindness, and with mercy. Father, I thank you for this church, and I pray that you would bless us and you would fill this place with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.